What's your plan with Cam for the first preseason?
Yeah, I mean, we're going to play. Our starters are going to play. We're going to play in all three preseason games. That's just like we did last year, similar process. The joint practices do change a little bit of how much. You know, you kind of gauge how physical the practice is and how much those guys might need. But they're going to play in every game, and we're gonna let Cam play. So he's going to be on the field playing football. Hard to say how much at the moment. We'll work through that as we get to the practice tomorrow. But I would imagine for sure a series and maybe two in the first game with the starter. So he'll play.
There you go. That was Brian Callahan earlier this week talking about how much the starters will play in the preseason game against the Buccaneers. Time will tell, but based on that clip, it doesn't sound like he's going to play them way too much. Real quick, let me tell you that later today on ESPN 94.9 The Fan, the Nashville Sounds take on the Jacksonville Jumbo Shrimp at First Horizon Park with first pitch at 6:35. Coverage also available on the Game Nashville app and at thegamenashville.com. Sounds baseball on ESPN 94.9 The Fan, presented by Twin Peaks and Family Leisure. Welcome back in. Weekend Huddle, the debut episode. New show, same time. Connor Newt here with Nick Frazier and Parker Kelly. And gentlemen, as we were talking about, it is Titans game day. What, outside of Cam Ward, do you want to see the most? What player do you want to see shine? Starters will probably only see a series or two, but that's okay because there are a few in the depth pieces that I want to see shine. Who comes to mind for you?
I really want to see Femi Oladejo because this is a guy who is a very raw, very green prospect out of UCLA, played inside backer, transitioned to edge rusher about midway through his senior year. So doesn't have a lot of experience at the position, but the Titans believe that the upside and the potential is clearly there. So what Denard Wilson, he's basically, his philosophy is he's throwing the kitchen sink at him to see what sticks. And Femi Oladejo, they're working him out in coverage. He's mainly been covering, you know, short areas of the field, flats, hook curls. And then they're trying to see how he is with rushing the passer. So he's trying to develop the pass rush, whether that be spin moves, cross chops, whatever. So I want to see him have a great game tonight.
Yeah, I'm right there with you, Parker. I mentioned last segment about Femi Oladejo. And to the point, too, I just think – he will have a good preseason game tonight against Tampa due to the fact that, you know, you're not seeing a lot of starters if it's on the defensive side of the ball or offensive side of the ball. That just tends to play out better for those youngsters that don't have a lot of NFL experience. I mean, that's what, you know, training camp and preseason football is for. I mean, I'm right there with you. I would love to see a lot out of Femi Oladejo, but primarily I want to see what some of these young wide receivers have. I mean, obviously,
bingo.
You know, Xavier Restrepo was not a draft pick. He was undrafted. Yeah, he has some of the slowest speeds out there in the NFL, especially, you know, for the Titans on their depth chart. But I just want to see what this guy has. I'm curious to see if he actually gets some reps with Cam Ward in action tonight. Would love to see Cam go a full quarter just so you can get a true chemistry of, you know, the whole entire wide receiver core, not just your starters. You know what I mean?
Right. I am right there with you, Frazier. It's the young wide receivers for me. Elik Iomanner in particular. Being out there watching him at practice, I've said this before, I'll say it again. He's not the fastest guy, and he's not the most elite wide receiver you'll ever see, but that guy can run a route. And if he can develop that and develop his speed and develop the essentials you need to be a wide receiver in the NFL, he's going to be a problem. And I think that's kind of what I want to see is the connection between him and Cam Ward. I don't know how much of that we'll actually see tonight based on the volume of play, the starters, and some of these rotational guys we'll see, but that is the number one thing I'm looking for as far as players outside of Cam Ward. That's Elik Iomanner.
And Connor, the early returns on these fourth round rookies are incredible right now. Yeah, I mean, you think about Gunnar Helm, Shamir Adike, Elik Iomanner, who's honestly, if I had to pick one out of the three, Elik Iomanner's probably had the best camp out of the three rookies.
I would agree.
Shamir Adike is getting some reps at punt returner. So we'll see if he's going to be in that role. Right now, I think it's probably going to be James Prochet, but Kamiri Adike is getting some reps back there as well. And then Gunnar Helm, he was listed as the second tight end on the initial roster, which was kind of a shock to me, but that just goes to show you how much they believe in him and what he can be. And Connor, I know you and I have talked about this before, but I really think Gunnar Helm, in terms of, you know, coming in at the same time as Cam Ward, I think that that is going to be very, very good, a great thing for the Titans, because who knows if Chig will be on this team next 2 to 3 years.
Right. Who knows if Chig will be on this team after this year? I believe he's been remarkably unimpressive in his tenure in the Titans. But you're right, Gunnar Helm, that's another one I want to see, because Jake Lyman and I have kind of agreed that I think Gunnar Helm will be the best tight end on this Titans roster midway through the season.
And two, you got to remember, are the Titans going to keep, what, 4-5 tight ends like last season? Probably not. I mean, you really got to just delve into this tight end group, especially in the preseason, and target them a lot. And I'm with you, Parker and Connor, that Gunnar Helm should be tight end one by the start of, you know, I mean, maybe that's my bold take. I don't know. Maybe Gunnar Helm.
Yeah,
is
give
tight
it to
end
us.
One.
You're going to miss it, so give it to us.
Come on, give it to us.
That I think that's it. Gunnar Helm is going to be the starting tight end for this Tennessee Titans team week one in Denver. That is my bold take.
That is bold, but I like that. I actually like that a lot.
Because and I've right said now, Alec's going to be starting X. That's my prediction. So, Connor, it's up to you now. You got to finish us off with the bold prediction.
I mean, I'll give my bold prediction. Mine's probably non-sports coming up at the top of the hour, but for going Titans right now, I would say, I think Femi Oladejo finishes with over 5 sacks this season.
Wow.
I like that.
Maybe a little bit safe, but I think a 5-sack season for a player that is just coming into the role of playing edge rusher, I mean, he just started at the Senior Bowl. So I think 5 sacks in a rookie year for a player of that story, I would be very, very happy with a season like that.
Yeah, and let's also remember, we've been talking a lot about the defensive interior and wide receivers and such. Let's not forget about the secondary. I mean, we have Kevin Winston Jr. Not we, the Titans have Kevin Winston Jr. out there in the secondary. And from what it sounds like, and Parker and Connor, y'all both have been at training camp, he's been impressive. I think this is a guy that you got to look at as the future of this Titans secondary. Everybody says he's the X's and O's guy on paper that just consumes football week in and week out. This could be one of those diamonds in the rough, especially one of those first-round talents that they got in, what, second, third round?
Yeah.
That's the thing. Cause like, if he didn't, you know, I think he had the ACL his last, or he was coming off of that, his final season at Penn State. If he didn't have that, he 100% would have been a first round pick, and the Titans got him in the third round. And not to forget, they traded that second round pick, traded with the Seahawks, and ended up getting Femi and Kevin Winston Jr. So I really like that move by the Titans.
Yes. And especially with a secondary that needs as much help as the Titans need. I mean, you have L'Jarius Sneed, who is not the L'Jarius Sneed 2 years ago. Plus, he has the off-the-field issues. I think you need him this year. But outside of that, Jarvis Brownlee and Roger McCreary in your corner room, that's like one of the worst depths in the NFL. I'm sorry. It just is. You look at some of these contending teams, like the Eagles and the Chiefs and the Bills, they have elite secondaries, and that's what kind of keeps that defense a hold. I'm not sure a secondary of this caliber, nothing against Jarvis Brownlee, who I think needs to have a step up this year as opposed to last year if he wants to kind of compete to be the X factor on the secondary. But no offense to those guys, they don't have the skill level of some of these other teams across the league.
Well, when undrafted free agent corner Jalen Kimber is out there running with the second group, I mean, that kind of tells you everything you need to know. Now, that's no slight to Jalen Kimber, because I think he's about as good of an undrafted guy as you could possibly get as a rookie.
Right.
But he's out there running with the second team. So even, you know, if L'Jarius Sneed is able to get this all cleared up with his knee, his quad, whatever, and then get the legal issues – even if he's able to just go out there and contribute as a – I'm not even asking him to be a top 10 corner. If he's able to be a top 15 corner, I think that helps this secondary tremendously.
I honestly think not just top 10 or top 15, just be serviceable. Just be serviceable. Because right now, like you guys are saying, that's all they have is just serviceable players. Just be serviceable. And hopefully your offense compensates for that.
I think that is the message – of the season for the Titans, especially for position groups like the offensive line or the secondary, is just be serviceable. Be average. If you are average, that takes a monster step from last year, in which pretty much every position group was terrible. So, yes, Frazier, I 1,000% agree with you. Just be serviceable.
Yes, just be serviceable because, I mean, to think about it, you have Titans defense who's just been lackluster, especially last year. I just want to see just more out of them. I really do. It not only just from Legarius Sneed, but Roger McCreary. I saw some stuff. None of us were in Tampa Bay, but I saw some stuff about how Roger McCreary was getting cooked on, you know, one-on-ones or seven-on-sevens. To me, I think Roger McCreary is the guy that has to step up this year to really earn another contract and get that just extension for the most part, just with the Titans as a whole, because that's primarily what you need. You need a lot of your draft talent to really start producing so you don't have to keep delving into the draft every single year. Nonetheless, he was from the older regime with Vrabel and Robinson and so forth and Carthon, but still, I think you at least got to have one or two of those guys out of those drafts to just be serviceable and to the point where you can use them in the future, because if you keep doing this and going back in the draft, you're not going anywhere.
And that's a great point. So TD and I were out at practice, and we were just watching the secondary, and like, we weren't expecting, you know, this elite secondary group like the Eagles may have, but we were watching Amani Hooker, we were watching Xavier Woods, Jarvis Brownlee, and we were just so like unimpressed because we didn't really notice these guys making plays. And Xavier Woods, you know, coming over from Carolina, the big thing on him was he's an Iron Man, played like 95% career snaps. So he's never really hurt. So that's like the biggest asset that he can bring to the table is availability. But like, when you're out there, you just don't really notice them. And that's concerning.
Yeah. And you need an impact guy, right? Not that Roger McCreary doesn't make an impact. He's been a part of some pretty key interceptions over the years for the Titans, but you need a guy that is just completely locked down. You thought you were getting that with Legarius Sneed, and look what happened. He was injured all year, and when he was out on the field, he was very, very subpar. You need a guy, especially heading into this new stadium, to draw money like that, to draw tickets. People are going to want to see, I want to see this lockdown superstar corner among the likes of, I'll use like Jair Alexander or Patrick Surtain or a guy like that. Maybe not that caliber of talent, but that caliber of aura, as the kids say.
Gotta throw the word aura in there. But here's Jarvis Brownlee. Like, if you consider where the Titans drafted him in the fifth round, I thought it was great value for what he was asked to do last year, being thrown in the fire. He did pretty well for the most part. The thing he struggled with was the penalties. And that's because Jarvis Brownlee doesn't have the foot speed to match these fast receivers. Now, what he's really good at is pressing. I'd say he's a very, very good at pressing the receiver, but he's just not fast. So he oftentimes has to have safety help over the top if he's guarding, let's say, a Calvin Ridley in practice. He's not as fast as Calvin Ridley. So he may have to have Amani Hooker come over the top to help him out. So what Jarvis Brownlee has to do is get better at mirroring these guys across the field. If he can do that and take the next step, that's great for him.
Yes, that is 1,000% correct. Speaking of preseason, there was a debut. Obviously, Cam Ward makes his debut for his team tonight. There was a debut last night that I was remarkably impressed with. We'll get to that on the other side. Weekend huddle here. Connor Newt, Nick Frazier, Parker Kelly here on 102.5 The Game. And welcome into Weekend Huddle, our new show here on 102.5 The Game. I am Connor Newt, your host of today's Saturday morning programming. We are broadcasting live from the Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game National Studios, home of the $99 yearly Beehive, where the buzz is always about great service. Like I said, new show, basically Forrest Company, just repurposed. New hosts, new segments, and of course joining me is Nick Frazier and Parker Kelly. They are via Zoom today as they both decided to go on vacation. But gentlemen, we are here. It is Saturday. It is a great day to be here. Okay, maybe not. Like I said, new show. We're going to have new segments, new topics. At 9:45 today, we will play America's favorite game, Where Are They Now? Hopefully, as long as both men are here. At 10 a.m., we will do Bold Take Row, a new segment. We encourage audience participation with this. Bold Take Row. Start getting your answers in now. 615-737-1025. Our phone and text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Everyone, just give us a bold take. It can be sports. It can be non-sports. Do whatever you please. Just give us a bold take. Do I hear someone on the Zoom? Has someone finally decided to join me today?
Hello?
Nick Frazier.
How are you, Connor Newt?
I am doing well. How is San Antonio?
There it is. Yeah, it's great. San Antonio is phenomenal. I've realized that San Antonio's afternoons get to 103 degrees, and that includes humidity. So, yeah, Nashville has it good, to be fair. Like, I'm currently outside. It's 79 degrees and just peachy.
Well, that sounds like the UV levels in San Antonio are off the charts. Go get yourself a nice little tan.
Yeah, indeed. Indeed.
Frazier, I was just telling the audience about our new show, our new segments. At 9:45, we'll play Where Are They Now, which is, I got into a debate yesterday with Joe Dubin about which is the better game, Where Are They Now or Celebrity Birthdays. I don't need a politician answer from you. I need a decision. Which one is better?
Yeah, I mean, I'm going to give you that answer. It's simply Celebrity Birthdays and what days it has just a mind of its own. A lot of people love that segment. It's America's favorite game. As for Where Are They Now, I feel like it's on the come up. And I think a lot of people are starting to recognize it. And it's kind of taking the world by storm. So I think it's almost there with Celebrity Birthdays, but Birthdays still has still has the upper leg.
No, I agree. But it's on the up and come. We're getting there. At 10 a.m., you will probably depart from us, as I know you're enjoying your vacation. But we're planning to see you around 11. At 10 a.m., Parker Kelly and I will play Bold Take Row. We encourage audience participation. Please, everyone, just give us a bold take. Sports, non-sports, we will read it on the air. It's going to be a fun time, and we'll do this weekly.
Connor, I don't get an introduction?
Well, I didn't know you were here, Parker. I know you're.
Oh, well, now you do.
Well, now we do. I know you're on your way to the station, so we'll see you here in about an hour. But how are you? Welcome, first of all. We're happy to have you here on the show. And moving forward, you and I are going to be like brothers here at this station. But
hey, that's right. And I'm coming to you live from an undisclosed location at the Nashville B&A Airport as I'm making my way to the station.
Yes. But you will be here in about an hour to do a little bold take row with us. Also, we will play Where Are They Now? I was just telling Frazier. But gentlemen, first things first, it is game day for the Tennessee Titans. What are our excitement levels at right now?
It's very exciting. Just to be able to see the Titans compete against a team that is not themselves, I'm sure the players are excited to face a team that, you know, I mean, they've been seeing each other for the past 5 weeks. So to be able to see a team that is not their own players. And to be honest, I'm just happy that football is back on our television screens.
Right. That's my excitement level, is it's live football and it's the team I support. So that's where I'm at. I will probably end up watching the whole thing simply because it's live football. It's not good football, but it's live football. So I'll watch it.
Yeah, I'm right there with you, Connor and Parker. I'm excited for the Titans. I'm very happy that football's back, but at the same time, I'm kind of probably reiterate this a little bit throughout the show, but I'm just nervous. I'm nervous that, you know, Titans football is back. Does that mean that we're going to see another horrible season, or is this going to be maybe a surprise to everybody? So I'm really excited to see what the wide receiver core can do. There's a lot of depth there to really kind of divvy out. Obviously, everybody loves Bryce Oliver, and supposedly he's been pretty good throughout camp. And I'm excited to see what the interior can do as well. I mean, obviously you have Tavondre Sweat, Jeffrey Simmons, but just want to see what Femi Oladejo is off the edge. I mean, that's the second round pick that everybody's really wanting to see what he's truly about. So, excited for all of that tonight.
Yeah, it's going to be a fun time. Like I said, may not be good football, but it's Titans football. Maybe that's the story of the season this year. Time will tell. Thoughts on Cam Ward heading into this preseason game? What do we want to see out of him? What do we think we should expect fairly of him? Not sure how much he's going to play. If I were to guess, I would say he would probably play a series or two and then hit the bench. But Thoughts on Cam Ward? What are the things we want to see out of him heading into this preseason matchup?
Yeah, I'm in the camp of seeing Cam Ward play like two or three series. Obviously, I told Joe that this past week, filling in for Chase McCabe, that would love to see Cam Ward play a half. And Joe's kind of in the same ballpark as me. I think you mentioned this as well, Connor. Like, just seeing Cam Ward start like maybe one quarter and then play a half and then play three quarters and
yeah,
stuff like that.
Yeah, that's my plan.
I'm with you on that, Connor. I think there's a lot of chemistry that needs to be divvied out with this Titans team, and Cam Ward is literally the missing puzzle piece to everything. So the more reps, the better. I'm just, you know, worried because we all saw what happened to Anthony Richardson the other night. Obviously, he's okay. He's on the mend, but had like a dislocated finger, so that's something to worry about. So hopefully the safety of Cam Ward will be okay.
And, Connor, I know we talked about this yesterday, but I'd also like to see a quarter – at least out of Cam Ward. I believe he needs the reps, the game-like experience. But I just want to see him not turn the football over is the obvious answer, but I want to see him be quick, decisive with his decision-making, and then sprinkle in a couple of deep shots, connect to Calvin Ridley. That would obviously be nice to see. But going back to Nick's point about Anthony Richardson, I think it's a great point. We talked about this as well, Connor. It was just simply Anthony Richardson just not seeing the blitz, which is something a year three quarterback should know by now. And that's what I believe should factor into Cam Ward's decision-making. Like, if he sees the blitz coming off the right side, I'd like to see him attack that side of the field because that's what quarterbacks are taught to do. If right. he's able to do that, I'll consider this a successful preseason opener.
Right. And that's kind of where I was getting at is what would be a successful preseason opener for Cam Ward. For me, I want to see how his vision works. I want to see, like you said, if a blitz is coming off the right side, is he looking left? I want to see how he attacks the mid-range. Is he going to throw it right up the middle like he has been? Is he going to get picked off if he does that? Let's also keep in mind that the Bucs are playing their second and third stringers tonight. I think Todd Bowles came out and said, yeah, we're probably not going to play a lot of starters in our first preseason game. And I understand that, but to Frazier's point, if you're the Titans, I want to see as much starters out there as possible because this is not a good team. This team just picked first overall. Does that say, oh, we're a great team? No. The first overall pick means you are the worst team in football.
Yeah, you're right.
I agree with you, Connor. I think to be honest with you, y'all mentioned about, you know, the secondary and, you know, Tampa Bay not starting a lot of players. For me, I just want to see Cam Ward throw some checkdowns. I just want him to solidify that short passing game. That's all I really want. I could care less about the arm. We all know he has arm talent, but I just want to know if he can get the checkdowns, read the defense quick, because in those joint practices, apparently he was having a hard time reading that defense.
Because he does have a tendency. He had this tendency at Washington State, had this tendency at Miami to want to make the wow big splash plays. And he's certainly more capable of that. He's shown that he has that, at least at the collegiate level, has that Superman capability, which Will Levis did not have. But I think it's more so he has to fight the urge to try to be Superman and just take what is easily accessible to him.
Right. And we hit on this yesterday in probably three of our 6 hours yesterday, Parker. Cam Ward and Will Levis are different quarterbacks in their mindset. Will Levis is not comfortable making a mistake, and he shows that by just his mannerisms, and he tries to play hero ball. Cam Ward is also not comfortable making a mistake, but the difference in Cam Ward and Will Levis is that Cam Ward is going to shake it off and go out there and, you know, do exactly what he knows to do best. He said it himself. If he throws a, quote, four-book game, which I will continue to hammer out, has never been used in the history of football conversation ever. If he goes out and throws a four-book game, he's going to keep playing on the level he knows he's capable of playing, and that's the fine line between confidence and ego. And I'm not saying Will Levis has an ego. I'm saying Will Levis is scared to make a mistake.
That short-term memory, right? What we talked about. Having that short-term memory amnesia, you know?
Which
that,
is the most important thing a quarterback can have in the NFL.
Absolutely, absolutely.
Well, we got a great show planned for you today. The Foo Fighters are here to perform live. We'll get to that later on down the line. Not actually. I wish I could book them, but no. We got some stuff to talk about. It's Titans game day. We'll continue the conversation. We'll play Where Are They Now at 9:45. Bull Take Row at 10. This is Weekend Huddle here on 102.5 The Game. Connor Newt, Parker Kelly, Nick Frazier. We'll get back to you on the other side here on 102.5 The Game. Weekend Huddle here on 102.5 The Game, brought to you by LPL Financial Nashville and Patrick Conger. Financial planning for tomorrow so that you can enjoy today. Connor Newt, Parker Kelly, Nick Frazier with you this morning on a beautiful Saturday morning. Beautiful day for football. Beautiful day for Titans football especially. But last night, the Cleveland Browns played a preseason game against Carolina Panthers. Carolina Panthers. Shedeur Sanders, who was the story of the draft, projected to be a first-round pick, completely slips and gets drafted in the fifth round, got the start last night for Cleveland, and made an absolute bombshell of a debut. He looked great out there. Had two touchdowns, scrambled on fourth and two at one point to pick up like 20 yards. I was remarkably impressed with Shedeur Sanders. I'm curious of you guys' thoughts. I know you both watched it. What did you think of the debut for Shedeur Sanders and the Cleveland Browns?
Yeah,
Shedeur Connor, go ahead.
No, you got it.
Okay, so Shedeur, like, I was locked into that game last night. I'm very happy for him. I really think that whole situation of him slipping was just a whole ordeal in itself, but I'm not really going to harp on that. I thought Shedeur did a really good job yesterday of timing the pass with his feet, being accurate, and hitting things on time when they were supposed to be hit. And honestly, he made plays with his legs too, which a lot of scouts were knocking him for, saying he wasn't his dad, you know, in terms of foot speed. But he made some big plays yesterday with his feet. I think of that one third down play where he scrambled to his right, picked up the first down, and he just, the subtle pocket movement too. Like, it was really impressive for Shedeur Sanders. And now that causes more QB controversy in Cleveland.
Yeah, and to that point, too, I think it gives Shedeur Sanders the upper edge. Obviously, having all the injuries, minus Joe Flacco and his age not playing in the preseason. But it just gives Shedeur Sanders the upper edge because of all the reps that he got last night. And, yeah, to your point, Parker, there were a lot of good reps taken from Shedeur Sanders. He was moving the ball well, moving it efficiently, let's say that way. I thought Carolina posed a pretty big threat when it came to giving him enough pressure in the pocket. So overall, Shedeur Sanders, I got to give him, if I do an A to F kind of grade, I'd probably give him a good maybe C+ or a B-.
That's what he gave himself yesterday. I don't know if you saw that, but he was asked in the postgame what grade he would give himself, and he gave a C+, and he actually apologized to his dad last night because he didn't think he did good enough, which I thought was funny.
Well, you know, the Sanders family hold themselves to high standards, so I mean, that's just beyond the point.
See, I try to separate Shador's off-the-field stuff, not that he's done anything wrong, but his mentality and his kind of his ego from the player. I went in completely objective to what am I going to see from Shedeur the player and not Shedeur the person. I was impressed. I would give him a B. Now, he did make some mistakes. He overthrew a couple of receivers, and there were times where I felt he was holding on to the ball too long and lost some yardage that way. But overall, I went in expecting Shedeur to absolutely crap the bed and prove to us why he was a fifth-round pick instead of a first. I was impressed. I thought he did a good job.
Yeah, no, Shedeur. And here's what I was thinking about. It was always in the back of my head as I was watching that game last night. What about guys like Dylan Gabriel, who were drafted before Shedeur Sanders in the third round? I mean, him and Kenny Pickett both have the hamstring deal going on, but that's going to hurt him, and he wasn't even available last night. So that just goes to show that when two rookies are coming in at the same time and, you know, one really shows out like he did last night in Shedeur, I mean, that's going to hurt you in the long term.
And also, too, to Dylan Gabriel, he's a lefty quarterback. And we don't see a lot of efficient lefty quarterbacks in the NFL. It's just, it's an uphill battle for Dylan Gabriel especially. And we all know Kenny Pickett, what he's available of. And obviously, they both, like you said, have the hamstring injuries. But overall, it's honestly Shador's battle to lose at this point.
Yeah, I would put him firmly in the driver's seat, honestly. I thought he looked good last night. He made some good reads. He made some good decisions with the football. Two touchdowns, of course. But it's kind of a detriment to what the Cleveland Browns quarterback room looks like right now. And that's, you know,
Shador, I think, is the fastest of the of. They have five quarterbacks now: Huntley, Flacco, Pickett, Gabriel, and Shador. Shador, I think, has the most upside and is the fastest as far as scrambling. Doesn't have the best arm of the five, but I think he has the most intangibles and the most. It makes the most sense for him to probably win that job.
Now here's the real question. Flacco didn't play in the game, so I tend to believe that he's going to be the starter come week one. But I could totally see a situation in where they're kind of grooming Shador, and they have Flacco start the season, and then at some point either turn to Shador later on in the year, or potentially have him start the year off in year two. Because I don't see a guy like Flacco being there for, you know, more than a year. At this point, he's a bridge gap quarterback.
Yeah, he is that stopgap quarterback. But two, you got to remember, this guy has seen a lot of ball. A lot of ball as a starting quarterback. And right now at the Cleveland Browns organization, we saw they have five quarterbacks on their staff right now. I mean, they don't really know left from right, up to down. They just need stability. And, I mean, Joe Flacco gives that stability. It's just looking at the other quarterbacks. And don't forget about Tyler Huntley. Somebody mentioned Tyler Huntley just now. I think that's a guy you're going to have to look at as being a competition booster for Shador Sanders. And as of right now, I don't want to look at it as like I'm over giving too much credit to Shador Sanders. But if I had to go 1-2-3 for, I guess, depth, if that's what the Browns do is keep three quarterbacks, I'd go Joe Flacco, Huntley, and Sanders. And primarily just put Huntley at two because of the experience he's had in the NFL.
And where does that leave Gabriel? Because you can't necessarily cut him. He was a third-round pick and still owed a good chunk of money. Kenny Pickett, you could probably trade. And then, I mean, Huntley was running out there in the fourth quarter last night. So it makes me think, and they signed him so late, it makes me think that they could cut ties with him pretty easily. It's just hard for me to imagine a world in which they don't keep both Shador and Dylan Gabriel.
Yeah, yeah, I could see that. It's for Huntley being there tonight, I mean, tonight, last night, it was more of just having an extra body out there so they don't wear Shador down into the ground. I mean, that's the way they look at it. I mean, that's all I look at it as, they're just having an extra body out there. But, yeah, the whole Dylan Gabriel thing, it definitely puts question marks up in the air for that Browns organization.
Yes, and I think that's kind of what they wanted, right? I don't think that was a coach's pick, picking Shador in the fifth round. I think that was more of an ownership pick. But is that not a good problem to have if you're the Cleveland Browns? Is we don't know who our quarterback is because the guy we kind of took a chance on in the fifth round overperformed in his debut. Is that not a good problem to have, do you think?
I can certainly think of worse problems.
Right. I mean, you could have the problem of, we have Anthony Richardson and Daniel Jones as our two starters, and neither one of them are good. We don't know which one to start. There are worse problems to have.
I'll say Daniel Jones looked pretty darn good the other night. Obviously, AR didn't have a lot of time on the field, but Daniel Jones looked pretty darn good.
Yeah, he did. His completion percentage was just not all there. I think he went 10 of 21, but he had a touchdown pass, passed for about 120 yards. I would firmly put Daniel Jones in the driver's seat in Indianapolis for the starting quarterback job.
Yeah, there were a lot of people in the, I guess, before training camp, they were saying, oh, man, Daniel Jones has a pretty good spiral. And I don't know if that's just because he has more experience, has the upper edge, but I'm with you. I think Daniel Jones is probably going to be QB1 when it comes to week one of this season.
Yes. As far as the debate, it's going to be a meltdown tonight if Cam Ward doesn't look like Shador Sanders did yesterday. I kind of predicted it yesterday. I thought if Shador looks good, a certain portion of Titans Twitter is going to melt down because they believe we should have taken Shador with the number one overall pick. What does Cam Ward need to do tonight to upstage Shador? Obviously, I don't think he'll play as much. He's not going to have as much volume in snaps, but what does Cam Ward need to do tonight to upstage Shador Sanders and instill a little bit of hope in this fan base?
It's exactly what I said. One, he's definitely not going to play three-fourths of the game like Shador did, which you already said. But if he had one touchdown, I could see that being enough to you. And you know how crazy this fan base can be. Like, if he has one touchdown, I think that would soothe a lot of people's minds. But honestly, like, what we should be looking for is make the simple plays, hit a couple big explosive plays down the field, don't turn the ball over, be good with your feet and your timing. Hey, I honestly cannot ask for much more than that.
Yeah, I'd have to agree to that. I mean, it's just such a small sample size that we're going to see tonight from what Brian Callahan has said all week. There's not much to really compare Ward to Shador or how to really, you know, like Connor was saying, do better than Shador. It's on a different standard, unfortunately. I would love to see him do a full half. I mean, I'll keep reiterating it until the cows come home. Would love to see Cam Ward to just get one full half in, because I think it's vital for a young quarterback to get a lot of preseason reps. I really do.
Yeah. What is going to happen, I think, is you're going to see two spectrums of Titans Twitter. If Cam Ward goes out there and looks great, you're going to have, you know, he's the greatest of all time. He is the savior of this franchise. If he goes out there in the small sample size we see him in, it's just, you're going to see, well, he's already a bust. And I don't think you can really take much out of his start tonight. You can see some sparks and some flashes, but I don't think you can create a final verdict based on 2 to 3 possessions from Cam Ward tonight.
Not at all, because there are going to be ups and downs for a rookie. It is just a given. And honestly, like, if everything was all, you know, peachy clean and everything, like, I would be worried. So I want there to be ups and downs for Cam Ward.
Yes. No, I want to see the mistakes, because as I will hammer out again and again and again, that's how you grow. That's how you learn. Do you think we're not learning right now, being forced into this situation we're in? You two are on Zoom. You don't think I want to have you here? It's awkward for me in this station. I'm doing my best here, but I miss you guys. Do you not think that the mistakes Cam Ward makes are going to help him better himself further on down the line?
Absolutely, which will then cause him to, oh my goodness, sorry, there was a deer that just stuck up on me. Absolutely. I just think, I really do think that, you know, if he does struggle the first couple series, you got to have him at least play another quarter, right?
I mean, if the Titans would listen to my plan, I would have Cam Ward developed by the end of the preseason.
Yeah, I agree to that.
I mean, Cam Ward aside, I want to see the offensive line play a lot together, because that's the position that needs the most gelling. I need to see Dan Moore and Peter Skoronski and J.C. Latham and, hell, even throw Corey Levin out there together. I need to see them, because that's the glue. When that skill group meshes together, then everything else can start meshing together a lot quicker. The meat and potatoes needs to come together, and that's, I think, the most important thing for this Titans team.
Yeah, and that meat and potatoes, man, that run game. Let's not forget about the run game, baby.
The run game, yeah. Got to see Tony Pollard and Tajay Spears gel it together. Real quick before we go to break, let's get into that run game, actually. What do you need to see from Tajay Spears, not even in this preseason, this season, to prove to us that he is the playmaker that the Titans drafted him to be?
I have a quick answer. More carries, more yards per carry. And I would be happy to take a little bit of pressure off of Tony Pollard, where he doesn't have to be the workhorse back. Because Tony Pollard, Derrick Henry, I'm stating the obvious, not the same player. So Tajay Spears needs to take more pressure off of Tony Pollard.
Yeah, I mean, we'll get into it in a little bit, but I just think they need to utilize Tajay Spears a little bit differently than Tony Pollard. Yeah, when you do two running back sets in the NFL, it can become predictable. But, you know, with Brian Callahan, with the way he runs offenses in the NFL, I mean, let's just see if he has something up his sleeve where he can kind of really deviate from the ball.
For sure. 615-737-1025. Text or call us at that number. Our phone lines driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. When we come back, Parker Kelly is departing us as he is having some technical difficulties, but he will be here in about 15 minutes. So, Jake Wellman, I'm throwing you in the ring. I haven't said hello to you yet. First off, hi.
Good morning.
Good morning. I'm sorry I didn't say hello. It's a lot's going on.
You know what's funny is when I started producing, I guess we go back to Force Company, you were the guy that got forgotten a lot.
Yeah.
And now I have become the guy that gets forgotten.
It happens, man.
It does happen. Yeah. I mean, when you, especially when you're in like your own space, like the studio, and yeah, I'm the one behind the glass. I get I get caught up in the shuffle, and you guys get caught up in the shuffle, and then I'm the one that get forgotten about. But good morning, gentlemen.
Well, as an apology to you, I want you to play Where Are They Now with us. That
this is my Super Bowl.
This is your Super Bowl. This is your debut of Where Are They Now. Jake Wallman versus Nick Frazier in Where Are They Now, coming up next on Weekend Huddle on 102.5 The Game. Tune in to 102.5 The Game, the Game Nashville app, or thegamenashville.com for NASCAR coverage of Go Bowling at the Glen tomorrow at 1 p.m. Coverage presented by Michael Waltrip Signature Floor. Rev up your day on the Michael Waltrip Signature Floor, located on the third floor of Hank Williams Jr. Boogie Bar. Wall-to-wall sports, cold drinks, and great food to fuel the fun. Welcome back, Weekend Huddle, the debut episode of our new show here on Saturday mornings, 9 to 12. Connor Newt, Nick Frazier, Jake Wallman, getting ready to play America's new favorite game show. Where Are They Now? The exclusive game show of the Weekend Huddle. Gentlemen, this is Jake Wallman's debut. Nick Frazier, do you have any advice / trash talk for the man?
Well, he said it was his Super Bowl, so I guess he's the Shador Sanders of executive producers, so I'm ready for it.
Shots fired.
Shots fired. We got a little pregame chirping, and I love it. It's like
it's not uncommon that Nick Frazier throws a little shade every now and then my way.
You are pretty bullied by Nick Frazier on a weekly basis.
Just going to have to talk to HR about that later.
Well, just wait till football season starts. It'll get worse. A reminder, if you're new to the show, if you're new to the program, or if you've been around and just forgotten the rules are as follows. I will give you five players that are currently active across the globe. The first three are within North America. The last two could be anywhere in the world. They are in any sport, football, basketball, baseball, hockey, you name it. They have to be active. 2 points for the league, or I'm sorry, 1 point for the league, 2 points for the exact team. Gentlemen, let's start our engines. Hit the music. And I hear myself in the background. That's okay. We'll just get that situated. Our first contestant here on Where Are They Now? Former Titan, former training camp darling, former wide receiver out of the University of Louisiana State, Racy McMath. Where is Racy McMath? We all thought he was going to be a training camp darling that just became a Hall of Famer as soon as he hit the field.
Didn't special teams weapon.
Yes. Always injured too. Dude was made of glass.
So do I get first pick?
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'm gonna say he's still in the NFL. And I'm gonna go with trying to think of teams that need a wide receiver. I'm gonna go with the Saints.
Jake Wallman, Saints.
I'm going with the Canadian Football League. I think he dropped out of the NFL very quick. Going Canadian Football League, and I'm going to go – let's go the Edmonton Elks, if that's a team, I think.
That is a team. It's not a correct team, but it is a team. Racy McMath's in the UFL playing for the San Antonio Brahmas.
Oh, man, I should go visit him, man.
Yeah, you could. Yeah, you're right there. Go see him. Say, Racy, what's up, my man?
I could.
All right, well, it's a good thing Jake Wallman is playing today because I have a vol for you. Former basketball, which I think is what you people call these them now. Jordan Bowden.
Ooh, he has circulated the leagues lately. I'm going to go with the States, but he's playing in the G League. I think he recently got a summer league contract with, was it the Pistons? No.
It was around there, yeah.
Okay. Two-way contract with the Pistons.
Okay.
I'm going to go EuroLeague. And
well,
I'm
this is in North America, so.
Oh, that's right. The first. Yeah, that's right. That's right. Sorry. So he said G League. I'll go G League as well. And I'll go whatever Miami's G League team is. That's that.
Okay. You both got the G League correct. Jordan Bowden is playing for the College Park Skyhawks, which is in Georgia and affiliated with the Atlanta Hawks.
Oh, it's close.
So we are tied 1-1.
On the board.
You're on the board.
I honestly didn't even know if I was going to get on the board when
you're making history.
When I started.
You've already made history. Let's see if you can make history again as I give you a former Kentucky Wildcat football player, arguably my favorite Kentucky football player of all time. Great on that 2018 team. Should have won an award of some sort. Not sure which one, but an award. Former Kentucky running back, Benny Snell. Where is Snell? Yeah. Was drafted by the Pittsburgh Steelers. Has made his rounds. Nick Frazier, why don't you go first?
Oh, this is tough. I remember seeing Benny Snell, like you said, with the Steelers. I want to say he's still in the NFL, but I don't think so. I'm going CFL, Canadian Football League, and I'm just sticking with CFL because I feel like that's a good out. I'm going to go Canadian Football League, and I'm going to say the Toronto Argonauts.
That's my old standby. That's my favorite CFL team because it's like the only one I know. Jake Wallman.
I'm going to go with... See, Frazier thinks the CFL is a good out. I think the UFL is a good out for me. And I'm going to go with the DC Defenders.
All right, you are both incorrect. He is still in the NFL for the Detroit Lions. He is.
Wow, I guess they use him as like the practice squad guy.
Yeah, he's probably like running back five on that team. But regardless, he is still on the team. So we are
holding up the note cards.
Regardless, we are tied 1-1 as we head outside of North America. The final two can be anywhere in the world. And for our first contestant outside of the States, I bring you Darius Baisley, former Oklahoma City Thunder, Atlanta Hawk. Where is Darius Baisley playing today?
I'm going the Turkish Basketball League. I'm not familiar with any of the teams, but if you see a picture of him, I think his jersey color is black, white, and red.
Just make one up.
I don't know. The Otter Otters.
The the Otter Otters.
Yeah, the Otter Otters.
That's a good guess.
Is there so like they? I guess their mascot would be an otter.
Yeah, but they're an otter, so like it makes sense.
I'm gonna go with La Liga.
Yes, yeah, La Liga.
Yeah, La Liga. I'm gonna go with he's playing in La Liga for. I'm trying to think of some cities in Spain. Lisbon.
Lisbon.
That's Portugal.
Oh, that is Portugal.
That is Portugal.
It's close to Alaska. If you're not familiar
Madrid,
with geography,
Barcelona,
Madrid.
Catalonia.
Thank you, Frazier, for being such a good sport. Madrid.
Oh, you're very welcome.
Well, I'm glad we got a geography lesson there because you're both incorrect. And I'm very disappointed you didn't get this because he is playing in China for the foundational team that this game is built upon, the Guangdong Tigers.
Ni hao.
Ni hao. Ni hao. All right, so we are still knotted at one with our final contestant. And maybe I'm throwing Nick Frazier a bone here, so I'm sorry if you feel screwed out of this one. But he had a very short stint in St. Louis. Former St. Louis Cardinals outfielder Austin Dean. Where is Austin Dean? Jake Wallman, why don't you go ahead?
Oh, man. Okay. I'm going to go.
Or maybe not.
I've got my answer ready. It's fine.
Oh, go ahead.
Go Wallman. Yeah.
I'm going to go with he's playing in the minor leagues for...
Well, this is outside of the States.
Oh, it's outside of the States. Okay, he's playing in Korea in the Korean Baseball League for the Seoul Dragons. I don't know what they're... I don't even know if there's a baseball team in Seoul. So
I think there is. Nick Frazier.
Yeah, there is. I'm going to go the... Is it the N... T-O or the NPB, right? The Chinese
Baseball League? Yeah.
Is that correct?
The Nippon Baseball League?
I'm going with that league, and I'm going with the Kia Tigers and Kia... Yeah, I think Kia Tigers.
That's a KBO team, but I'll take it. We have a winner, ladies and gentlemen, and it is history being made today.
Let's go.
As Jake Wallman walks it off in a pitcher's duel, 2-1, Austin Dean plays in the KBO for the LG Twins.
That's I'm just
wow. Well done, Wallman.
So history has been made.
This one goes out to all the haters.
Hoist that Lombardi
here on the program. Fun day, fun time playing. Where are they now? I don't think we'll do this at 9:45 every week. I think we will move this as the main event of the program moving forward. Next week, we'll start rotating in Newt's Notes and Frazier Files and a new segment for Parker Kelly. I'm thinking we call it Kelly's Corner. What do you think about that, Frazier?
Did we lose Fra- Oh, there he is.
Yeah, he likes it. He likes it a lot. He likes it, he loves it, and he wants some more of it. That'll do it for hour one of Weekend Huddle. Coming up next, Parker Kelly is in the parking lot. I see him walking in right now. He will join us to discuss some college football moving forward this year. What team is not being talked about enough? What team is being talked about too much? That's all coming up next. First off, Nick Frazier, enjoy your vacation. I'll see you here in about an hour. I know you're going to re-hop on with us.
Yes. Thank you very much. Yeah, I'm just trying to help celebrate my dad's 60th birthday, man. It's pretty special. So happy birthday to my dad once again. And yeah, I'll see you guys back in Nashville on Monday.
Enjoy your golf. We'll see you here in about an hour when you come in for me. But Parker Kelly will join us. Next, coming up next, we'll discuss some college football topics. That's all right here on 102.5 The Game. Weekend Huddle, Connor Newt, Parker Kelly, Nick Frazier. We'll be right back on 102.5 The Game.